today we have a special guest with us, and we have Dr. Luke Niebergall with us. We hosted the Prophetic Pursuit Conference this weekend, amazing time in the presence of God. Luke travels as an itinerant minister, speaks in many churches. He's a gifted teacher, equips churches, especially in the whole area of the prophetic. He's an author, written over 30 books. We have just a few of them left. I think they sold really well this weekend. But Luke, I don't want to take any more of your time, so why don't you come on up and just share the word of God with us this morning. Can we welcome him as he comes?
Such an honor to be here with you guys. Who was here at the prophetic conference? Just put your hand up. A lot of you guys, some of you guys missed it. That's okay. How many of you guys know God is going to move this morning? I believe it's God's heart that he'll move. I'll be honest with you. I laid awake a lot of the night just praying and just feeling anticipation in my heart for this morning. So I'm excited for that. And I want to share some testimonies with you, if that's okay. You know, I love teaching and unpacking scripture, and maybe I'll do a bit of that, but I feel to share some testimonies because of Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, which talks about how the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when we testify as to what we've seen Jesus do, we're actually prophesying over each other that the other person can see the same, okay? So I'll share a story with you. I was ministering down in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. When was this? Maybe a year ago? Something like that. We were doing a Father's Heart conference, and it was a really beautiful conference. You know, people are being touched and healed in their hearts. But I've been learning that there's no more powerful, there's no force that is more powerful on the earth than the Father's Heart. The Father's Heart, the Father's love is such a powerful force. And there was this woman who was brought into the sanctuary. And she was brought in by her husband being wheeled in a wheelchair. And this woman, her face almost looked gray. She was just so hope deferred. You know, your hope can get so deferred that it you just feel lifeless and joyless. So she comes in and we find out that this woman was in a car accident and she was told that she'd be paralyzed for the rest of her life. And she could take about 10 steps in total. And by the end of those 10 steps, she'd be in such excruciating pain that she'd have to stop. And we watched her try and walk. She would literally be hunched over like this, and she'd walk pigeon-toed like this. And I remember about halfway through one of the services, the host of the conference, he's a friend of mine, he's a pastor of a Dutch Reformed church. It's conservative, hey? You know that God can move in conservative churches? God can perform miracles with the Dutch Reforms? Oh, you guys, what are we, lifelinks? We got to catch up to those Dutch Reforms, hey? So the host starts praying for this woman, and we're all praying, and this woman's trying to walk, and she takes maybe about 6 steps, pigeon-toed and hunched over, and she just stopped, and she couldn't go on anymore, and she was almost in tears because she was in so much pain, and I just had this, like, I had this compassion that just stirred inside of my heart because I could see the look on her face. She looked so defeated. I looked at the face of her husband, and he was in tears because he just wanted his wife, he wanted his wife healed. I just walked up to her and, you know, compassion's a loud thing, hey? I walked up to her and I just grabbed her by the hands and I said, I know you're in pain, but can we just go for a walk together, please, right now? I don't know how many people are in the service, maybe 150. So everyone's praying and I'm walking with this woman and 5 steps becomes 10 and 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 30, 30 becomes 50, 50 becomes 100. But it's like, we're walking together, and it's sketchy. Like the pastor told me afterwards, he was like, that was very sketchy, Luke. I was like, I know it was sketchy. And by the end of the 100 steps, I'd say she was partially healed. You know, she was standing up a little bit straighter, not walking as pigeon-toed, definitely not in as much pain. And I went and I took the microphone because it was my time to preach. And I said from the stage, I was like, look, I just believe Jesus wants to heal you. I really do. And I was like, I give you permission. If you get healed at any point while I'm speaking, please interrupt me. Just so we can all worship Jesus together, that he gave you your body back. Now, she didn't interrupt me while I preached, but what I didn't know was that while I was speaking, her legs started trembling under the presence of God. And when the service ended, God spoke to this woman. See, God's word can move things, hey? God spoke to this woman and said, "Now get up and run." See, this is her faith, not my faith. I can't take credit for any of this. Even if it was my faith, it's all because of Jesus. Anyway, it really has nothing to do with me. This woman stands up from her wheelchair and starts running around the sanctuary. Running around the sanctuary. We have pictures of it. You know what was beautiful? This family actually traveled in. Can you imagine being in that much pain and actually traveling to be at an event like this? But they traveled. But their teenage kids, I don't think they wanted to come to the service because they were still at the hotel room. So the kids, they hear a knock at the door at this hotel room, and they open up the door, and guess what? Mom's not in her wheelchair anymore. There's no wheelchair in sight. This family, let me tell you, this family, they worshiped Jesus together in that hotel room until 1:30 in the morning because Mom got her body back. Oh, man, we need this again in the church, you guys. We're seeing it in the church. And I think we're at fault of something, you guys, because often we come to services like this on a Sunday morning and we treat them way more casually than we should. Because this could be a place where we come broken, bruised, and hurting, but guess what? It could actually be your day of breakthrough. It could be the day where you experience the power of God and your life is flipped right side up. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 talks about how God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. What a good verse, hey? You know, there were two disciples who dreamed really audaciously in Matthew chapter 20. And these two disciples, they had this desire in their heart. It was James and John, the brothers. This was their desire. When Jesus would ascend into heaven, they wanted to be seated at the right hand of Jesus and the left hand of Jesus. You remember this? That's an audacious desire. That was like as much as they could think or imagine. That's what they wanted to do. Now, here's the thing. They had a bold request, but they weren't bold enough to ask it. Who did they get to ask for them? You remember? Mama, that's right. So Mama goes to Jesus. Says, "Jesus, you know, my sons, they want to be seated at the right hand and at your left hand when you ascend into heaven one day." And Jesus is so kind. And he's like, "Well, they don't know what they're asking. Can they drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" And it's very interesting. But, you know, even the other disciples were so mad about it, hey? They were so frustrated and disgruntled. But here's the thing. This was them dreaming extravagantly. This was them dreaming as big as they could dream. But how many of you guys know this, that through the cross, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it talks about how we're seated in heavenly places, but not to the right or the left. It says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. How many of you guys know that it's better to be seated in him than to the right or to the left? See how he can actually do exceedingly more than we could ask or imagine? Beautiful, hey? I'll share a story with you. This is when I was a lot younger. I was maybe 20, you know, back when I was a thinner man. I used to lead teams out to the hospitals, training people to pray for the sick, to see people healed, training people to bring the prophetic ministry out to the streets. And I have maybe two or three people with me, and we walk up to this one woman. She's on the outside. I'd always go to the emergency the smoking area. I'd go hang out with the smoker. I don't smoke. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. But I'd go hang out with the smokers because they had nothing to do but just wait in pain, and I'd pray with them. I saw this woman. She's sitting in her wheelchair, and she has a cast on her leg, and we got in conversation with her, and we said, "Well, you know, what happened to your leg?" And she began to share about her life, about how she was stuck in a lifestyle of prostitution. And she had a boyfriend, and this boyfriend, they got in a fight, and he threw her down a flight of stairs, and she broke her leg in two places. Horrific, hey? So we pray for this young woman. And we're like, "You know, can you just try and do something you couldn't do before?" And she said, "Yeah, I can." She steps down. And when she steps down, you know, praise God, her bones fuse back together. She's healed. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we keep praying with this woman, spending time with her. And we said, "We're going to come back and visit you in a few days. So we came back in a few days, and we just wanted to love on this woman. We brought her flowers and chocolates, and we just wanted to make this woman feel special because she is special. And when we saw her sitting on the bench outside, she looked like she was going to jump out of her skin. She was so excited to see us. And we're like, why are you so excited to see us? Let me tell you, it had nothing to do with the flowers, had nothing to do with the chocolates. She told us, she said, because of my lifestyle and prostitution, she said, I was diagnosed with 9 irreversible STDs. But after you guys prayed for me, I had my annual test and I just got my results back and I was healed from all 9. Come on, isn't God good? Now, here's the thing. The kingdom of God is contagious. Jesus is contagious. Oh, don't you love that truth that Jesus is so contagious? And she said, you know, Jesus did this for me. Can he actually do this for my friend? And I was like, yeah, absolutely he can. Now, I didn't know what this other woman was going through. But this woman runs into the hospital, grabs her friend, wheels her out in a wheelchair. Now, this poor woman, she just had everything wrong with her body. Well, started off, she had a rash starting on the top of her leg to the bottom of her feet. She was a Caucasian woman, but her skin was a dark red from the rash. It looked excruciating. Her shoulder was in extreme pain for about 18 years. Her hand was in the shape of a claw due to arthritis. She had, from a car accident, she destroyed her ankle. It was being held together by metal. And she had a tumor in her back the size of an egg. And I saw this woman, and you know, you have your big faith moments. It's like, man, this woman was just healed from 9 irreversible STDs. And then I see this woman and I'm like, oh, okay. So we walk up to her. I think I had about 6 people with me at this time. And we're like, can we pray with you? She says, yeah, you can pray. We lay hands on her and we begin to pray. And my faith wasn't even that high, you guys. My faith was like maybe down here. She just had so much physical wrong with her, where I was just trying to believe, but God is just faithful, hey? Sometimes all you need to do is just step out, and God's just like, yeah, I'll do the rest. So I pray for this woman, we pray for this woman. The first thing that happens is we watch her pigmentation of her skin go from a dark red to a clear white right before our eyes. It's beautiful. We grab her by the hands and we start walking with her, and she starts crying and she says, my shoulder, for the first time in 18 and a half years, it doesn't hurt right now. She stops limping. She starts walking fine because her ankle's healed. All of a sudden, she lets go of my hand and runs over to my friend and gives him a hug. When she does, her hand that was in the shape of a claw due to arthritis completely stretched out. And then she said this. She said, I need to sit down again. I need to sit down. So we're like, yeah, go sit down. And she said, you got, please run your hand over my back and see if the tumor's gone. We ran our hand down her back. Guess what? It disintegrated. Like it wasn't even there in the first place. Oh man, you guys, we need a revelation of the realness of Jesus. Hey? You know, it's so interesting for me. I've been observing something recently, you guys. And this is what I've been observing. It's almost as though we often have grand faith for things that are further away from us. You know, where if I were to say, stand in a room and say, who believes that the nation of Canada can be saved? Hands would go up. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, who believes your community can be changed? And we're like, yeah. And then I'm like, hey, who believes that your marriage could be transformed? Okay, I like that. Who believes that in this moment God could take away your self-hatred, your anxiety, the pain that you've wrestled with for 20 years, that you're so familiar with? And it's interesting because as things are further away, it's like we have a lot more faith for them, but then all of a sudden as it gets closer to us, it actually bumps into our hope deferred. And see, what God wants to do is God wants to actually restore hope right now. I can feel it in the room right now. I feel like there's just people in the room. You've been fighting battles. Some of you, it's physical battles. Some of you, maybe it's depression or anxiety. But guess what? Jesus is actually big enough. He was big enough for that woman who was steeped in prostitution. Guess what? He's big enough for your circumstance. Isaiah chapter 6. I love this story where Isaiah the prophet, he's in the throne room of God. And he sees Jesus sitting on the throne and the train of his robe fills the temple. You know why the train of his robe filled the temple? It's because back in that time, historically, whenever a king obtained more territory, the train of his robe was literally physically lengthened. So this actually speaks to how Jesus is actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over everything. The train of his robe filled the temple. The train of his robe, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over Canada. Did you know that? Over Regina, over this community, over your life, over your home, over your marriage. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And guess what? Today we get to touch the hem of that garment. I'm stirred right now, you guys. I knew I wasn't going to preach long this morning. Partially because we need to honor time and all of that. But second of all, I believe God wants to actually move. And I'll share one last story with you if I could. And then I'm just going to pray over you guys because I can already see there's people just, I have the luxury of standing up here. I can see people crying already. God's already starting to resurrect hope in people's hearts. 7 years ago, I was ministering down in a very small town. Some of you guys would know. You guys are in Saskatchewan, so you'd know of Eston, hey? You know Eston? That cute little town, 40 people live there? Well, once a year, Eston used to put on a big event for youth. And a ton of youth would go to this Eston event, this youth conference. And I was invited as the speaker. We had about 300 youth come out while I was speaking. And I remember I'm driving up to Eston, Saskatchewan, and I'm like, God, what am I going to say to all these youth? And God spoke to my heart, and he said, you know what, Luke? When you're with these youth, I'm going to be wild. Now, praise God when he says he's going to be wild, because he's the wildest of all of us. Hey? So I get there. I begin to speak, and thank God that Jesus was true to his word, because he always is. We began to see just amazing, amazing healings. We had all these youth. And the thing I love about youth is they're not conventional. They're not, you know, for a lot of us, if we start seeing Jesus perform miracles right before our eyes, we might sit in our seats. Some of the bravest of us, we might kind of like, you know, inch our way up a little bit to kind of look over the person in front of us to be like, hey, what's going on up there? These youth didn't. They all ran to the front. They ran to the front and they made this big circle at the front. They called it the miracle pit, which I thought was creative. But it was like anyone who stepped into the middle of this circle would get healed of whatever they had. And there was this huge, massive, it was like this tower of speakers. It was almost like 20 feet high. And this one kid literally climbed to the top to watch the miracles that Jesus was doing. Because he was shorter. He couldn't get to the front of the miracle pit to see. So he climbed. It was so sketchy. But it was so beautiful, you know, there was this one young girl who stepped in who was born blind in one eye. She stepped in and I was like, I'm not going to pray for anyone tonight to be healed. I was like, I want to train you guys to pray for one another to understand that Jesus can heal through your hands. So I grabbed a 9-year-old girl and I was like, why don't you pray for her? And she prayed for her and God opened her blind eye. It was miracle after miracle after miracle. There were girls there who, due to depression, would cut their arms. They had scars all up and down their arms. It was so sad, the self-mutilation. And we watched, we prayed over these young girls and we rubbed their arms. And when we rubbed their arms, just like an eraser going over paper, God erased those scars right off of their skin. You might ask yourself, well, why would God do that? You know, the cynic would say that, hey, you know what? If they self-mutilated due to depression, when God was erasing those scars, he wasn't just erasing scars, he was erasing depression right off of their hearts. He was. We saw miracle after miracle, probably about 90 healings, I think we counted. Oh, a few months after this, I was back in Saskatchewan. I don't even remember where I was ministering. I was telling some of our spiritual daughters the other day, like, I don't always remember where I go. I'm really bad at remembering where I've been because I've been traveling and speaking for almost 20 years, so I forget the names of places sometimes. But I was ministering in this small town at this little camp. This one kid comes up to me, and he's about 15 years old, and he said to me, he said, Luke, he said, I was there in Esten. I was like, oh, you saw the outpouring of God's healing. He said, yeah. He said, it marked me forever. He said, I could never live life the same after that. And I was like, okay. I was like, how have you lived different? And he said, well, let me tell you. Oh, this story gets me. He said, a few weeks ago, me and two of my friends, we were playing video games at one of our homes. But I felt like God spoke to me. Because he's like, Luke, you talked about how God could speak to us. So I figured if he can speak to you, he can speak to me. That's the attitude we should have, by the way. So he's like, I felt like God spoke to me and said we needed to go to the nearest hospital. So this 15-year-old kid stops his friends and is like, guys, we need to actually stop right now. We can't play anymore. I think we need to go to the nearest hospital. That's bold for a 15-year-old, hey? So they can't drive, so they grab their bicycles. You know, and they're taking their little bicycles down to the nearest hospital. It's like the most adorable missions trip you've ever seen. They're just going down there, and when they get to the hospital, the doors fling wide, and this woman comes running out, and she is full-term pregnant, and she's weeping hysterically. And this woman goes and sits down on a bench, and this 15-year-old kid walks up to her and says, what's wrong? That's bold. She said, I don't know what to do. I just had a meeting with my doctors. I'm full-term pregnant, but the doctors just told me that my baby passed away in the womb. This 15-year-old kid, he says, you know what? He said, I've actually seen miracles. Oh, that's got to get you. He said, I've seen miracles. Can I pray for you right now? She said, yeah, what do I have to lose? And this 15-year-old kid reaches out his hand, puts his hand on her belly. Prays once, nothing happens. Prays twice, nothing happens. Three times, nothing happens. Four times, nothing happens. Prays a fifth time, and he feels a kick. They came back. Let me tell you, they came back the next day and saw this woman, and she was weeping all over again, but not because her baby was gone. She was weeping, and she said to them, the doctors are baffled because my baby was risen from the dead in the womb. Man, I'm stirred right now, you guys. And I'm sharing this with you for a reason. Because I know that there are people in the room. We're just like this baby that passed away in the womb. There's actually hope that the enemy has tried to put to death. There's faith that the enemy has tried to put to death. But I feel like God is in this room, and he's like, no, I want to actually show you that the train of my robe fills the temple, and you can reach out and touch the hem of my garment today. There's something for you to grab onto. I don't know if you can feel it in the room right now. You know, there's ebbs and flows to services, and you know, we have different types of services where we need to share all the details. We have to do that. So it's so important to do all the administration and share foundational sermons. Like, we have to do that stuff. It's incredibly important. But then there's also moments like this where it feels a bit unusual in the room. And I don't know if you can feel it, but I really can. And God wants to do something right now. I want to pray for two things in the room. I felt like God spoke to me last night to pray for two very specific things. The first thing that I want to pray for is that God wants to bring healing to broken marriages in the room. Another thing that he wants to bring healing to is broken bodies and broken hearts. We're going to start with I don't want to call it the tougher one. It's the more vulnerable one. I feel like we need to actually just pray over some of our brothers and sisters in the room who are believing for their marriages. And in a second here, I'm going to ask you to do something incredibly, incredibly vulnerable. But again, I want you to keep in mind that this isn't a normal service, and God can actually do the impossible in a place like this today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and I'm procrastinating a little bit right now on purpose, because if I'm giving you time where if you're in the room and you know your marriage is struggling, I'm giving you enough time to nudge your spouse to be like, hey, you know, we're actually wrestling through some things right now, and God needs to touch our marriage. So I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if this is you, if you need healing in your marriage, if you need a touch from God in your marriage, I'm going to get you to stand to your feet. And then as a family, we're actually going to come around you and pray over you. And I just want to break this so you don't even have to think about it, but there is no shame or condemnation in saying that you need help and a touch from God. There's nothing wrong with that. I give you my word. No one will think less of you. They're just going to be with you. We already got some people standing, and I haven't even counted to three. Beautiful. One, two, three. If this is you, just stand up. If there's anyone else, just stand up. So we have some people standing right now. And if they're standing near you, this is what I'm going to get you to do. Because I can't come around and lay hands on everyone and pray for everyone. I can't do that. But guess what? You guys can actually be equipped for the works of ministry yourself. So if there's people standing around you right now, then I want you to just lay hands on them, and I want you to begin to just pray and just surround them as family. This isn't time to give advice, nothing like that. We're just standing and believing for breakthrough in marriage. Right now in Jesus' name, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for covenant. We thank you for the power of covenant, the covenant of marriage. And God, right now, this is a morning of breakthrough. We just came out of a conference, God, that's called Dunamis, which means power. And we thank you, God, that the hem of your garment that fills the temple, God, it's just flowing into marriages right now in Jesus' name to bring freedom and breakthrough, to reestablish connection and love and attraction. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Restore the pursuit. Restore the pursuit of one another's hearts. In Jesus' name, now. Now these people, they're going to keep just receiving from God. If you stood for this and you're receiving, let God do things in your heart. And for the rest of us in the room now, so even those of you who are praying over other people right now, just pay attention for a second. Now, if you need healing in your body, I shared such extreme testimonies for a reason. I want your faith to be high because I believe that God can move in a place like this. If you need healing in your body, whether it's back pain, knee pain, or if it's something extreme like cancer, I want you to just put your hand really high right now. If you need healing in your body, and keep it held up. Keep it held up. And if you could, just stand to your feet. No, I know we're moving into a form of ministry time right now, so it's okay. Keep your hand up high. Okay, now if your hand is not raised, I want you to look around right now. There are a lot of people in the room who need healing. So I want you to come around to them. You're the ministry team today. Come around to them. There's a lot of people still sitting with their hands not raised. I want you to go around to them. Guys, we're going to believe together for God to move. We're going to believe for breakthrough in one another's lives. And I believe he's going to do it. So if you have no one praying for you, keep your hand held really high. There's still a lot of people who need people to come around them. There's a bunch of people over here. There's a bunch of people right over here, you guys. Yeah, Amber, if you could go and minister to some of these ladies over here, some of these guys here. Yeah, Amber, just like a few rows back, just right there. If you could just minister to them. If you don't have someone praying for you, that's fine. I'm going to pray for you right now. And guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray and believe for breakthrough. We're going to pray and believe for healing for people right now in this place. And I want you to begin to pray and use your words. That the power of God would touch them. That the hem of Jesus' garment would touch them. And then I want you to get them to test it. So God, right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name, God, we release healing in this place. Because you're the healer. You healed us on the cross. You healed us on the cross. You did it. You did it. You did it. So we're standing on that promise right now. Healing in bodies from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. I speak to pain. I declare that it goes. Trauma in body goes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare this. Okay, now right now, if you just got prayer, I want you to try and do something you couldn't do before. I know sometimes you can't test. But if you can test it out, try and do something you couldn't do before. Try and do something you couldn't do before. Now let me ask a question. Who here in the room right now, you just received prayer for healing and you experienced some freedom in your body, some healing in your body. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. There's a few people. Who here the pain is completely gone from your body? Just put your hand up. A few people, thank you, Jesus. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray again. Jesus, right now. Guys, if you can, lay hands on them. Right now, we declare healing in bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now. All pain goes. Sickness and disease goes. In Jesus' name. No more. No more. No more. No more. All right now, test it out in your body. Test it out in your body. Test it out in your body. Now, who here, there's healing in your body? Put your hands up. Yeah, I see some hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Who here, put your hand up really high if there's no more pain in your body. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. If we had time, man, we'd be doing testimonies and just sharing. God's going to keep doing this. He's going to keep moving. Make sure you guys keep believing for your healing. For those of you who received healing in your bodies, make sure you tell leaders and pastors here because we need to celebrate what Jesus has done. God's going to keep blowing. He's going to keep breathing. He's going to keep moving. Let's do this right now. Because this is how I want to cap it. If you want a release of fresh faith in your life, because I feel it. This is what I felt like God said. There's an impartation for new levels of faith today. We can receive it. We can catch it. Some of you guys are feeling it already. And if this is you, if you want this, just put your hand up really high. Really high if you want this. Okay, now come on up to the front. Come on up. I know there's a lot of us. Even if all of us came up to the front, we can just fill the aisles. Doesn't even matter, you guys. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. And God's going to still keep moving and healing over you. I know a lot of you received prayer and haven't experienced healing yet. We're going to keep believing for that. Come on up, come on up, come on up. Come on up. You guys, it's mornings like this that could mark us for forever. It really is. I give you my word. If we take this seriously and step in and stop with the passive Canadian Christianity and step into kingdom Christianity, where we understand that the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and the forceful will lay claim of it. God, we're stepping in forcefully now. We want all of you. We want all of you. And we repent for the times that we've given up, we've stopped believing. But God, now we stand in faith. 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 We receive everything you have right now. You know, I'm trying to listen to the Lord right now, Ed. There's times to go around and pray for everyone. That's not today, though. I feel like this is a time, this is a moment for you to stir yourself up into the higher places in the kingdom. Because there's something to lay claim of. And if you could right now, just begin to pray. If you pray in the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. This is a time to lay aside passivity. It's a time to be tenacious. Because some of us, we've settled for less. But this is a moment where you get more. You get all of it. You get all of Him. You get all of Him. You get all of Him. And God, we receive all of you, Jesus. Pray, step in, enter in. Enter in, enter in. Enter in. Enter in. This place right now, God, I can feel the faith in the room. We're at a good place right now. This is a good place to pray some faith-filled prayers. And right now, in Jesus' name, we declare bodies transformed. We declare hearts transformed. We declare sons and daughters coming back to the Lord right now, in Jesus' name. We declare homes transformed. Regina transformed. There's things that you can stand in the gap for right now, to pray for, to believe for. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in this room right now. Utilize it. Utilize it. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for the things that you know need breakthrough. Pray, pray, pray. Declare. You know, in a moment like this, He's doing the different things with different people. For some of you, you're experiencing breakthrough in your life, in your heart. For some of you, he's doing an internal thing, an identity thing. For others of you, he's placing burdens on your heart to pray for. Whatever he's doing, step into it. For some of you, he's marking you. He's giving you mandates. For some of you, he's giving you newfound faith, new gifts of the Spirit he's activating in you. Just partner with whatever he's doing.
God speak. Word of God speak.